I want us to consider this morning a scripture passage that comes out of Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11 today. I don't know if you guys are staying there or you're waiting for an opportunity to sit down, but, you know, just don't want you to look awkward. Pray for those people going to Africa. I love people going to Africa. Can you guess why? Uganda, you're in for a treat, those of you who are here who know you're going. That dusty road on that picture just reminded Rose and I, as we were sitting here, of so many farm roads that we know. But Uganda can also be a lot prettier than just that dusty road, I can promise you. Just get used to bananas and chicken. You will come back from Uganda and you will never have known that there were so many ways to cook and eat a banana. But that's something to look forward to. If you don't like bananas, well, you're going to like them by the time you come back. So, but you'll have a great, great time there. I'm just the easiest but jealous. Ask, seek, knock. You know, ask, seek, knock is sometimes called a recipe for success by people who like to believe that you can just conjure up God whenever you want on demand. And I want us to look at that this morning. Is this really what it is? Read with me as we look into the Word of God today. Let's say this together. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus presents a most simple of ideas. Ask, seek, knock, to be given, to find, and to find a door opening for you. And when we read it at face value, it just seems to be really too good to be true. All I have to do is to ask and to seek and to knock. It seems magical. It seems probably to someone who has been a Christian for a while something that doesn't always work. So I want to try and unpack this a little bit more for us and try and figure out what Jesus may have been really trying to say to us. So we read in the scripture there about how a loving father wouldn't dream of giving a child a stone if he asked for bread, or a snake if he asked for a fish. And then in the other instance where we see the story related in the Gospel of Luke, he also introduces the idea of would a father give his child a scorpion if he asked for an egg? And we need to get a little bit of the context here and a little bit of the understanding. Little round limestones that used to live on the Galilee seashore were very similar in size and shape and color to bread loaves of the day. You can probably see that in the picture up there. You could probably mistake that for a stone if it was on our seashore. And that's what they looked like. They weren't these great big bloomer things that we buy in Tesco's. They were just little things. And they could easily look like stones the way that they were prepared. A fish or a snake, the snake was probably an eel. We're not 100% sure, but we're surmising that it was an eel. Snake-like, but very often used by Jews who were trying to bend the dietary laws. They weren't allowed to eat an eel, but if they said it was a fish, it was okay. And so it was a kind of a sneaky way to give you what you thought you were getting when you weren't actually getting what you were asking for. And then the egg or the scorpion, this one I have to use my imagination a little bit for. I couldn't find a better picture than that scorpion down there today. But the idea was that this scorpion that is found on the shores of Galilee and is quite poisonous. If it stings you, it'll really hurt you and you'll need some medical attention. But when they are lying in the sun, all curled up fast asleep, they can look like some of the eggs that are laid by the wild birds that live on the seashore. And people would go along there and forage them. They, again, didn't go to Morrison's and buy a 12-pack of eggs. And so we have Jesus using some well-known objects and talking about things that would be very real to the people who were listening. In the parallel passage in Luke's gospel, good gifts is referred to as the Holy Spirit, by the way. Jesus probably taught the story many, many times in many, many places, and his disciples had heard it all before, and they had heard it often, and they just wrote down a couple of the occasions in the Gospels that they heard the story. And this passage is sometimes viewed as a recipe for getting what we want from God. Get your proportions of ask and seek and knock right. Perfect the way that you blend them and then cook them and then season them, and then presto, you just have what you've asked for. But actually, this teaching of Jesus is more about having the right kind of heart. And I wonder what kind of a heart Jesus' words encourage us to have. This will turn just now. You can send it on for me if you can. Thank you. There's the alternate version, by the way, in Luke 11. You can take it on to the next one. Thanks, Christian. So ask, seek, or knock. Is it really a recipe for success? I don't think it is. I think it's much more about finding out how to have the right kind of heart. Verse 7 and 8 that are up on the screen now are all about trusting God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So, the first thing to ask ourselves this morning is, how much am I willing to trust God as I ask and seek and knock? And then the second part of the passage is all about the kind of Father whom God is. Is there any among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? When we actually ask and actually seek and actually knock, we're expressing trust in God. And Jesus just simply comes along with a great reminder of this truth. Don't expect to do nothing and then expect God to act. If you want God to hear you, speak to him. If you want God to listen to you, ask him. If you want to get God's attention, go to him again and again and again, if you have to. Because he wants you to actually ask and actually seek and actually knock. And just to make sure that we're on the same page here, asking and seeking and knocking is not quite the same thing as thinking about asking and thinking about knocking, thinking about seeking. I was thinking about visiting you this week. It's not quite the same as I actually came to your door and knocked on the door. Pretty you weren't there, but I did come and knock on your door. It's quite a different thing. So this is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about this morning. And I trust that you're with me. This is all about having the same kind of heart that God wants you to have. I'm sure that nobody here this morning would ever do this yourself, but it is astonishing how many people consider verse 8 and just try to use that as a kind of way to say that I can ask God for anything, that I will get it guaranteed, 100%, no doubt about it. But there are some people who try to believe that. Asking and seeking and knocking involves a conversation with God. A little bit more intricate, a little bit more involved than, God, please give me this, God, please give me that. When you have a relationship with someone, it's easier to present asking. It's easier to present seeking and knocking questions of that person. And it's exactly the same if you have a good and an honest relationship with God. God, who has clearly stated to you that he wants to be your heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? And when everything is good between you and God, when you've got that relationship, when you're in the habit of asking and seeking and knocking, you can come to him and you can ask him things like, Lord, so what's next? Or, Father, who should I be listening to? Or, what direction should I take? Or, Lord, this thing that I'm sensing that you've placed in my heart to do, am I getting a green light from you? You can actually say things like that to him and watch him lead you and take you and open the right doors and close the wrong ones. It's really informative to me that this particular story that Jesus spoke is sandwiched between two other stories. One is a story about judging other people, and the other one is about the narrow door. The one asks us to be merciful, and the other one asks us about our integrity. And we have to begin to see all of this flow of story in its context. How does the asking and the seeking and the knocking heart help to build mercy and integrity in us? And then we remember that Jesus loved to tell absurd stories. He used crazy stories to teach massively important truth. And when he did it that way, he was aiming to communicate. He was aiming to say something to us that we would find unforgettable. For example, do you remember the prodigal son? It went something like, hey, Dad, why don't we pretend that you're dead and I can take my half now? That would be a crazy story to a Jewish family at the time of Christ. Or what about the story that he told about the two brothers? The one said, absolutely, you can trust on me. I'll be coming to work in the vineyard. And then he never did. And then the other brother who said, over my dead body will you ever find me working in the vineyard. And before the end of the story, you find him working in the vineyard. They were crazy stories, but Jesus told them that way because we would remember them. And what about the time that Jesus described a bunch of Pharisees who were quite willing to drink out of a filthy, dirty, horrible, nasty cup. Because they said, well, the outside's very clean, isn't it? Crazy story. But he got his point across. Jesus wanted people to stop and think, you know what? God is not like I first imagined. God is like something else. And this man, this prophet is saying something to me and teaching me something about God that I need to pay attention to. Jesus was saying to the people there, God is not a sneaky trickster or an inattentive parent who would give you the wrong thing when you ask for it. And I think people listened, and I think that they smiled, and I think that they even giggled when Jesus shared the story. I think Jesus was far from being very solemn and headmastery. I think he probably had a great big gleam in his eye as he was speaking these kinds of words. What kind of a dad would give their child a stone when they're hungry and want a loaf of bread? Do you get it, guys, is what Jesus was saying? Imagine the scene with me. Imagine the passion that he had in telling that crowd about the love of God. Jesus absolutely loved to tell people everywhere, anywhere, anytime, just how much their Father, his Father too, loved them. And I think that that's worth thinking about too. And that's really what I'm hoping to communicate here this morning. You've heard it before, many of you. But today, would you take it on board in a fresh way? Jesus said to us that our Heavenly Father absolutely loves us. That's you. You. You and you. It's me. You cannot sit here today and say, God doesn't love me. If you knew what God knows about me, you wouldn't love me either. That's not true. God just loves you. Yes, he really does. You may question that. I may question that some days. But God the Father loves us. You may think, I don't deserve that love, but he still loves you. You may think, I've done stuff. He still loves you. You may think, I have gone so far beyond the pale. There are issues in my life that I cannot resolve. I've been wrestling with them for years. He still loves you. And even right now, you may not be truly expressing, experiencing, feeling the love of God. But he still does. And you can't stop him. Isn't that wonderful? This simple message from Jesus might just be what God wants to say to you today. Maybe God had in mind for you when you came to church today that he just wanted you to hear this again. My dear child, I just love you. You don't have to ask me why. You don't have to ask me how. You don't have to ask me under what conditions. I simply love you. And he wants you to know that as a good father, he has good gifts for you, like bread and fish and egg. And he's not a nasty God that is going to turn around to you and say, "You're hungry? Here's a stone." Or, "I've got some tasty fish for you here," and then hands you a snake. He's not like that. Maybe you've had some ideas in your head over the years that God, your Father in heaven, is like someone who says, "Hey, child, here is a delicious egg," and then hands you a scorpion that's going to bite you. He's not like that. And if you've ever entertained a thought like that God's out to get me or to punish me or to make my life difficult because I've just decided to be a Christian, get it out of your head, because it's not true. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who asks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I wonder if a word or a picture begins to emerge for you today from this passage. What begins to stay with you this morning as you allow the gentle Holy Spirit to reach you now? This moment. Keep on asking, seeking and knocking. Keep trusting in God who loves you perfectly. Keep allowing God to change your heart, and you will receive, find, and see the door opened. I really want to encourage you today to do some business with God. It might be in the pew where you're seated. It might be that you want to come up after church, or even as we're singing a closing song, and just come up to the prayer zone here where some of the prayer team would just love to pray with you. It might be that you just turn around to someone you're with and say, "Please just pray with me." But whatever you do, try to find a way today to remember that God loves you. And let me close with this. What do you think that God may have been telling you today? Let's pray together. I think that's the question that certainly I feel like God laid on my heart to ask church this morning. What has God been telling you through the week, maybe, but especially so this morning? And let's be reminded that to ask and to seek and to knock is so much less about getting the right formula to get what we want from God and it's all about drawing us into right relationship with Him. And if God is saying something to your heart today, soften your heart, don't harden it. Receive what He's trying to say to you, and then do something with it. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and we pray that as we close this service shortly, we will go out of here just rejoicing that God our Father loves us. And Lord, even as we're about to sing about how Jesus never changes, we are so thankful also that You, our Heavenly Father, never ever change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my prayer, Father, is that by the ministry and by the working and by the moving of Your Holy Spirit here this morning, we might corporately just sense and experience a huge awareness of how much You love us as individuals and as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.